When I moved to Lubbock in January of 1987 to continue my college education and to fill the pulpit at a small church located at 49th Street and Avenue L, I met Barbara Maupin, who was a backbone member of that small congregation. That was a fascinating time in my life. I was all of 20, going on 21, learning to deal with the realities, the burdens, and the politics that go along with being the pulpit minister. And you know, when you're a preacher, you don't always have everybody on your side, somehow. And I quickly found in Barbara an amazing friend, not merely because of her kind heart and her appreciative spirit, her marvelous kitchen concoctions, not only because she would provide a place for the youth to go and to watch movies on a Sunday night. We had a good enough time that I kept doing that after the youth were gone. We'd go have our own movie night. Not only because she appreciated coffee, as all good people do, but because in a small congregation with a tremendous range in culture and in education, she was a friend with whom I could enjoy some of the finer things in life and conversation with a widely read and deeply knowledgeable person. She was a pleasure. And it's not that I didn't love all the folk in the congregation, but there were some ways in which she was uniquely enriching to me. And in another very special way, she, as many of us did, came from a tradition that was deeply devout, that took our faith very seriously, but that has struggled through the decades with coming to a full understanding of grace and the grace of God and how it operates. We came from a tradition where to disagree about matters of faith could be very threatening to the quality of your friendships and relationships, and there was a lot of insecurity because of that. And as a young man who was aware that I did not share the full range of traditional beliefs with all of those with whom I churched, was somewhat vulnerable in that area. And in Barbara, I met an individual who was not only widely read, but deeply knowledgeable about her faith, and deeply aware of the goodness and the grace of God, both because she had studied her Bible and listened to the Word, but also because she had lived through tragedy and defeat and hurt, and she knew firsthand how God's grace operates. When I remember Barbara, I remember somebody of marvelous skill. Knowing that I was personally absent the day that artistic talent was handed out in heaven, I appreciated all the more the astonishing things of which she was capable. And fine china is in fact an apt metaphor for her life in more ways than one. I'd like to read to you a note from an artist friend of hers who doesn't live in Lubbock and could not be here, but who sent this note. Her name is Cheryl Meggs. She writes, "I feel because of Barbara Maupin, many learn the fine art of love." She's an artist, but what they learned was love. And she taught some who went on to be teachers themselves. As a traveling artist, I stayed with Barbara, and what a fine hostess she was. I was most fortunate to get to know her. Always a smile and happy to see you. I am saddened to hear of her passing. She will be greatly missed. Much love to her family, and know she is in a better place with God. Believe when I say I know the grief her family must be going through, but with God's love, you will make it through with love and sadness. Cheryl Meggs. Barbara was a person of a refined and educated palate. I don't think, and even though I don't travel widely in culinary circles, my own experience of food and the enjoyment of it was immeasurably enriched by bellying up to the bar that served as a table when we were over at her house. My goodness, Not only did I enjoy what she made, but I enjoyed the way that she could talk about what she made and ate. Her ability to distinguish, you know what they say, your computer monitors can distinguish 16.7 million colors. She could distinguish that many flavors. She loved to discuss Scripture, something that I've always loved. And it was a joy to share and exchange and have give and take with her. One of the things that I think most about when I think about Barbara is her ability to communicate worth and appreciation. Very, very few people have I ever encountered who made me feel more appreciated, more treasured, more valued than she did. That is an incredible gift. She was a woman of deep humility. Barbara was aware of her faults, and I think that she was aware of a great many more than she actually had. And she left me with a very, very precious gift, which is perhaps one of the greatest gifts of all. During the time that I was at Avenue L and trying to establish my own independent understanding of God and His ways, I made the mistake, if you will, of preaching through the book of Galatians. It left me in such a quandary that when I went on to the next church in Brownfield, I made the same mistake and preached it there. And both times through, as I wrestled with Paul's struggle with this other gospel, the gospel that was not the true gospel, a gospel that would require people to have a perfect understanding or a perfect performance in order to secure or be assured of their salvation, for the life of me, I had trouble distinguishing some of the emphases of my own movement from the false gospel. And that deeply troubled me. Deeply. Because most of the people that I knew in my own movement, even the ones who seemed most hidebound, seemed to be very sincere and utterly genuine in their faith. And I would ask myself, how am I to feel about them and about myself for that matter? How am I to reconcile the fact that there have been some unhealthy emphases and teachings in a group and amongst a people that I deeply love and whose faith I respect? And yet, is this the true gospel or not? And I never came to an adequate answer during that period of my life. But I remember, I cannot tell you, times without number, hearing Barbara in humility say, how deeply she needed God. She came from a tradition where she knew all about the right things to believe and the right things to do and how important those were. And none of us should ever be careless about the will of God. But where her dependence was, you see the difference? What she depended on was not the perfection of her efforts or the perfection of her understanding. But with both hands, she had a bear hug around Jesus Christ. She was clinging for dear life to the goodness and grace of her Savior. And she could state that more eloquently than anybody I ever met. And that, I realized in the end, is the difference. It doesn't matter, ultimately, what percentage, how many of your actual individual beliefs end up being right on target or not. And your performance, which is already considerably worse, doesn't matter. What matters is what she knew so well. Who in the end do you depend on? That settles the issue. I once heard my brother speaking to a group of folks in Uganda where he is a missionary. And he said to them, this was a kind of a getting to know you meeting as two groups of churches looked to possibly be able to fellowship together. He said, you know, every church has its beliefs and traditions, and we must all do that. We all have to have ways of doing things. But in the end, he said, it is those who hold on to Jesus that in the final day will discover that Jesus has been holding on to them. And that's Barbara. You know, Barbara was possessed of an ample body. And her body is not with us today. It has already made its journey. But it is interesting to me to know that God does not, I think, put quite the stress we hear some people put on saying, well, the spirit's the real person, the body is just a shell. I don't actually think so. I don't actually think so. All this talk about resurrection in Scripture would be pointless if there were no body to be raised. You do know, don't you, that your spirit is already raised? It can't be raised anymore. It's already been raised with Christ. It's not dead, not going to die. What is to be raised? It is the body. And in Philippians 3, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. Now, I don't claim to know exactly or all that that verse means, but it's clear to me there is some kind of continuity that the body that we will have eternally, yes, we're not going to be disembodied spirits floating around up there or wherever there is. We're going to be embodied. And the body that we have is a continuation. It is made of the stuff, if you will, of the body we had here. And that's exciting to me because Barbara will not just be a disembodied spirit, but her whole being inherits the world to come. And that's exciting. When I think of Barbara, I think of the words in 2 Timothy 4 where Paul at the end of his earthly span says, I have fought the fight, I have run the race. I have to tell you that all the years I knew her, I never saw Barbara run. And yet she ran the race. And she ran it with flair and with style and with class and with dignity. And she's going to run if she doesn't fly in the world to come. And so we celebrate Barbara's life. David said when his child died in the Old Testament, he will not come back to me, but I will go to him. And we all know we're headed there. And God has a way of cutting the million umbilical cords that attach us to this life and this age, one by one, in his mercy. Because as we grow older, more and more of the people that we have known and loved and treasured are no longer here. And our deposit, our treasure, is being transferred piece by piece into the other realm. Until the day comes when really there is nothing left for us here, but there is much on the other side. And with the passing of Barbara to that other side, I have to tell you that a discernible chunk of my connection to this world has made its shift, a measurable sense that my inheritance is greater on the other side. And that's worth celebrating. Let's close with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, that Barbara was your idea. You dreamed her up. You put her in her mother's womb and gave her birth. You formed her personality and her skill and her marvelous smile and laugh. You created her. You shepherded her through betrayal and loss and heartache. You brought joy to bloom in her life again, and you have not finished with her yet. And we thank you for her, and we celebrate her, and look forward to the day when our fellowship is grander yet. We love you, and we thank you for such a woman and such a world. In Jesus' name. There will be a reception immediately following, which is now, right through these doors and down the hall to the Vandalia Village Center, which is the multi-purpose building right at the west end of the hallway there. David, is there anything else? You're dismissed.